76 proudly presents the 515 Show with your host, John Sarver. Who's at the 515 door today?
Well, this one's pretty easy. You know, everybody, over the holiday, people were like, you know, about the David Findling interview that we did last week. And, of course, he's the court-appointed receiver for the 38th Circuit down there in Monroe. And what they were doing is like, Mylon Dragway is in receivership right now. There's still a lot of questions going on. And when we were talking, Mr. Findling was saying some stuff about the track and his visions and things that he wants to see and whatnot to it. You know, so now what we have right now is Ron Youngblood from the Munden Township. And this is going to be interesting. You know, Ronnie, exactly, you have the two titles. You have the zoning one, and the other one is compliance, isn't it?
Code enforcement. So, yeah, compliance.
Yeah. You say
I mean, they both kind of go hand in hand because the one side of the zoning administration, how it plays into the compliance is applications for, say, site plan, like what the dragway will have to submit. Check that for the compliance, and then if they don't comply to that approved application, upon approval, you know, when they start doing the work, then the code enforcement side is, I'm checking what I approved and what was approved against your site plans and what your desires have been expressed to run your property.
Yeah, and so this is kind of what we're looking at, too. There was some of the stuff that we reran. You know, you hear the interview a couple of times where people will tell you verbatim what was on that. It's kind of like one of those things where there's a picture of you driving a car and there's you actually driving a car. There's two different perspectives. And so sometimes it's kind of fun when people do tell you what was on, you know, the interview. But the one thing that folks kind of come back to a lot, and, we re-listened to it, and yeah, he did. You know, he said, well, you know, it would be kind of cool. I mean, we're paraphrasing the guy. Obviously, we're not quoting him at all. But it was like, well, yeah, there's a track there, you know, that just wasn't kept up well. But evidently, there was a road track there. And it's like, well, it's still there. It just goes all around the thing. Maybe they can make it into an M1. Now, all right, so if you make this thing from a drag race place to an M1, don't they have to redo that commercial now?
Well, they're already that zoning. So I think you're talking to the zoning district itself, right? In regards to commercial. No, because the commercial would be a tax designation for that use. Because the only place we allow racetracks is in the public semi-public zoning district, and that's properly zoned. Although we've created a hardship that doesn't have property along a county road or state highway as defined by our master plan. And so they put that only place you can have a racetrack not in quite conformance with the ordinance. So they'd have to get a variance, but once they get the variance or combine several parcels of property that are a part of that racetrack to get their direct frontage on the county road or state highway, they'll be good to go on that. And then it's just the tax designation is commercial because it's the use of the property that is properly zoned that gives them the tax classification as commercial.
Well, you're good with what a road track is, right? I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean,
based on self-explanatory. Because remember, I'm not a race fan. You can ask about racetrack zoning, and I can tell you stuff about the zoning and whatnot. But as far as cars and tracks and what goes on there, and like I said, I've been to Norwalk twice and have that much of an idea. I don't watch it. Road track. I'm assuming it's just a regular old road that they're going to race around, or time trials, or just somebody's pleasure of racing their own little car. That's my assumption.
Yeah,
so correct me if I'm wrong, because I definitely want to be enlightened.
It's kind of like Waterford Hills. You know, you have your Corvettes, your Porsches, your cars that handle well. You know, your MGs that go, you know, tight curves and a straightaway, and then another tight curve, and then it's not like NASCAR that goes in an oval. And it's not like drag racing that goes straight. It's a road course because it literally is like driving around. It's like one of those roads that you see in the mountains, you know, left turn and then a big straightaway and then a hard left, hard right, hard left, and kind of like a Grand Prix downtown. You know, it's something like that, and that's what M1 has. Now, the whole thing about having M1, we don't see how M1 and a drag strip coincide. Maybe they do, but you're talking two different crowds of people, and I never, you know, they're two different. I mean, a road course could be, you know, 3/4 of a mile, whatever. A drag strip's 1/8 of a mile, 1/4 mile if you're lucky, straight. You know, it doesn't have tent burns and turns and a little bit of banks and things like that. So if they wanted to do that, make it into a drag strip, but into a road course M1 style kind of thing, how much of a variance could they, I mean, they would have to pull a variance, and could they?
Not a variance, because you'll have two separate tracks, right? Your drag racing track for that purpose, and then you'll have your M1 track for that purpose, right?
Maybe not. Maybe what they would do, because some back in the day, what they did was they used the drag strip as the straightaway. And then when the cars would turn off, you know, to go back in the pits, that would be turn one. And then they would fashion roads going every which way but loose. And then when the cars in the drag strip, when the cars are coming up to, you know, the burnout box, that would be the last turn. And then there's a big 1/8 mile straightaway, then turn, 1/8 mile straightaway, turn. So
okay, so the existing strip there would be a part of the M1 track.
Could be.
Yeah. Okay, could be. Well, the special use they'd be asking for would be for a racetrack. Because that's what the ordinance is. It's a racetrack. They'll be racing. They'll be, you know, it falls under that ordinance. So all they would have to do is be specific on the special use application. That, hey, this is how we're going to race. This is what we're racing. Well, not necessarily what. We're racing cars or bikes. We know that. Some type of automobile, right?
Yeah.
Be it electric or however they go. But it's racing in general. And so at the racetrack, if they go, okay, well, this is the existing dragway, we're going to modify this nice little track here, and this is what we're going to do. It'd be the same as if they're just wanting a drag race. They just put that specific down. They specify that we're using this to race, and it's the same process, no variance.
Okay, so they can do that. That wouldn't break any, I can't say laws, but that wouldn't break any ordinances if they said, look, yeah, we're going to keep the drag race part. It's almost like knocking down a building or something. We're going to leave one wall, you know, and then we're going to build like crazy off that one wall. So that's when everybody was going, okay, great. Now, what are, and it's a question that was skipped, and we should have asked it too. Do you know, and I don't even know if this is your question or not, but, you know, we walked by there on Thursday, and we met Brittany Adams, nice person, met her, a little girl, the whole nine yards there.
Oh, yeah, London resident.
Yeah.
Love Brittany.
Yeah. Yeah, since she lives, it's amazing how many people, Ron, live at the end of the track.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's pretty close, that's for sure.
I mean, there must be a condo or a hotel or something. All the people that we know that end live at the end of the track, God bless them. However, it was like, okay, the grass is a little bit high, to say the least. I mean, that could be just a monthly thing or something. But what are they doing to police that place?
Well, the county sheriff would be keeping that in part of their rounds, I'm going to be safe to assume, especially with other things in the area that they keep an eye on. The normal things when I'm driving by as code enforcement I'd look for is, any, of course, if I was to see cuts in the fence, any damage, stuff being changed, and now that I know it's pretty much like a vacant property, I keep an extra eye out on my rounds just to make sure that the property owner and whoever's going to buy it, their investment is as safe as I can with my authority keep it, right?
Yeah, right.
We don't have a specific grass cutting ordinance, especially that I've found. I've been focusing on extractions and stuff like this for a while, but I've been in and out of that ordinance and haven't seen anything specifically for the cutting of grass. Usually, if it gets out of control, I just ask people to cut their grass, and you know they're usually more than welcome to, more than glad to just cut it, because they know it needs to be cut. And that's a lot of grass in there to cut.
Yeah, to say the least.
They could be letting it seed, because it's natural seed, you know, if it grows in the seeds, that helps your ground, right? That helps it look more lush and provide more grass for the next season.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I haven't asked.
Yeah, because that's the one question that, as you look through the fence, and when, of course we went Thursday, and Thursday was that real dank kind of day. I think we're wearing jackets, mm-hmm. you know, and it was overcast and kind of rainy. I mean, the grass was over the ankles, you know, in certain spots. And the pictures, and we'll be uploading the pictures pretty soon. And you can see them, that they are definitely over, you know, it's high, and it's going through the cracks and everything, and that's, you know, the bottom part of May, you know, June, July, August. I mean, if there's no enforcement, whatever, that whole place could just look like a huge abandoned place then? There's no ordinances?
No, with it being a nonconformity as well, they have that 365-day where they can abandon it up to the 365-day.
Right.
So it's clearly right now abandoned, right? But
yeah.
We can't specifically say abandoned until it hits that one-year mark according to the ordinance. As far as the grass cutting, I'm actually bringing up the ordinance again to see if I'm overlooking something, because it sounds crazy that we have so many things that will not allow us to tie our hands on ordinances and such.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I remember hearing a conversation about when there's rule changes and they want to go a little more tougher, like having grass cutting ordinances, which come down to the police powers, not zoning. It's the police powers in the municipality, that they don't want the change because they don't want to be like a city. People want to let their grass go to knee-high and have it seed. People don't want them things. And if you notice, most of the township actually has cut grass unless they're a cornfield or a field.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or wheat or sod or whatever they're doing. It gets kind of tall. Most of the homes and the residences definitely cut the grass. So
yeah.
That's definitely going to be another oddball. And I don't know, maybe Mr. Feinling has a reason for letting it go. From listening to the interview, which I think was a great interview with the guy, by the way.
Here's your $5.
I respect Mr. Feinling quite a bit. I'm surprised with his passion for racing and the confidence he says with whom may be buying that track and what whom may be doing with it, that it would be tall and being a little unkempt at the moment, for sure.
Well, you kind of wonder if this is on like one of those monthly kind of deals, you know, on mm-hmm. the first of the month, some landscaping thing, but nobody can get inside of the place, right?
We can't. Anybody who, Mr. Feinling, he is the keeper of the kingdom right now with that, right?
Yeah.
So if he's making the plans, and it's up to him as the court-appointed owner to deal with that property, what they need to do, the extension of the court, right? He has the keys to make that plan and should, and have somebody take care of that property at the very least of doing the grass.
Yeah, I was wondering, I mean, when there was the walk and everybody, the walk, and then say in the quotes, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, how did you guys get in? There wasn't a hole in the fence. I mean, there is a hole in the fence, but... I mean, you walked in through the front gate, didn't you? The whole crew?
Yeah, the gate was open.
Yeah, okay, so someone's obviously got the key. So,
well, I'm sure probably only Mr. Feinling, I would assume, has the keys. That would be my assumption, because he is the receiver. And like I said, he is the keeper of the kingdom right now, right?
Yeah.
He's got full control. So why would somebody with full control and all that interest in basically being responsible for that property allow anybody else to have the keys unless they're doing work?
Yeah, because that was another question that was brought up too, Ron. It was like, if you're driving by and you see a hole in the roof of one of the buildings, say Thunder got it or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. or there's a power line down or something, I mean, you have to still stay on the outside, or can you do some kind of enforcement thingy that gets you inside there and go, look, folks, we got to kind of do something here?
Well, that would definitely be an immediate... issue where say for you brought up a hole in the roof from thunder or lightning or just
sure,
cracking
yeah.
the roof, strong rain, right?
Yeah.
We would see that, and that would fall under the International Property Maintenance Code for our building official. And so if I was to see it, I would take note, I'd take the picture, and I'd email him right away and say, hey, this is what's going on at the dragway, the property's abandoned. You know, basically, I wouldn't have to tell him what else to do because he'd already know, because he's, one, hearing it from me, two, he sees a hole in the roof. That's his expertise. Down power line, if that was the case, the, you know, DTE and anybody else does not need the permission to cut that lock to get in there and deal with that wire, if that's the case, if there was a down power line. Barring seeing into that, which I haven't seen it, like I said, they have the authorities to do certain things, but for a hole in the roof, we wouldn't be pulling the fence down to go do that. We'd just send them a note saying, hey, this is what happened, this is the violation, this is why it's a violation, and the source of where we... draw the authority from, this needs to be fixed in so many days.
Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of that stuff, like you said before, I mean, it's at this particular point, it's a brush hog kind of deal.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't go on the inside. You guys have the power, the township has the power of anything outside of the fence, close to the ditch, close to the door, I mean to the wall, to the
road?
Well,
depending, if that's, I believe the ditches are the drain commission, because they deal with the drainage, okay. Although they are to be maintained by the property owner.
Right.
But as far as, usually with jurisdiction-wise and property rights, the respective property rights, if it can be seen from the road or what's called the curtilage, a neighboring property, that's enough as far as evidence we need to make action on an enforcement. So the tall grass, I'm going to look through that ordinance again. Now my Adobe's screwing up on me, which is just great. as many times as I've read it, I'm almost sure, but I don't want to just quote. I'd rather have it in front of me and read it to you verbatim again.
Right.
But, yeah, we I don't think we're kicking no fences in or cutting a fence to go look at anything.
No. Okay, because that's what everybody was trying to figure out. If this was, like, say, an abandoned amusement park, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah, the gate has a chain on it. It has a big padlock on it. Both of them do. You know, how much would it stop somebody from going in? Why would you want to go in? That's a different story. But the one thing that was kicked in, and we thought that was an interesting point. Okay, it's dark around there. Not a whole lot of folks live around there. If you wanted to go in there and start stripping pipe or wire, you know, copper out of there, I think you'd have a pretty good chance.
Well, you might be giving people in 77 countries ideas, John.
Yeah. However, that's the idea that's already brought up to us. If we're talking to this now, the people who would want to do that already are doing that.
Or maybe not, maybe. I haven't seen the holes in the fence. And
no, there isn't.
When we walked around, I didn't notice anything weird. And I believe I asked Mr. Feinling if they had any vandalism or anything like that. But to mention, like, if it's an amusement park, or this is might as well be an amusement park, because you go there, it's amusement, it's got food, right? Anything of this nature, this big, would have such concerns or issues, they're doing the right thing by keeping the gate locked.
Oh, yeah.
Now, say, if I drove by to visit a board member, or I'm going to help a resident actually do some work after this, if I drive down there and saw that the gate was wide open, that's inviting to me to walk in there or drive in there, because it's a long driveway. I don't feel like walking it today. I would drive back there and I'd drive around and I'd see what I see. If I saw people that didn't look like Mr. Feinling or his team or potential buyers in, you know, fancy suits and Cadillacs with a briefcase full of money, I'd rush them out until they gave me good reason or said where they got the authority to be on that property. And I would do that with any vacant property in London Township as well, and I've pretty much done that before. You see a window open, you contact the homeowner, hey, this is open, what's going on? Did you open it? No, I didn't. You call the sheriff's department, you do what you got to do to make sure that that property's safe and secure and any trespassers are being dealt with. Because at the end of the day, it's still a London Township property. It's a London Township interest. It's London Township, you know. And they're doing, from what I'm seeing, everything they can to keep the property safe and secure. But if the grass gets tall enough, maybe they can crawl on their bellies. So that's something else to think about, you know.
Yes, by no stretch of the imagination are we encouraging or whatever, that do something bad here. Yeah, but I mean, you know, you're almost right. However, that kind of does roll around people's heads. It's like, what's going on? Is there patrols around here? But there's a lot of people, surprisingly, that don't live around there, that do live around there. Because every time that we try to do a video... from the front of it, I mean, you have to time it by the cars, and who knew that street was so damn busy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's a nice thoroughfare. You got that one road called Townsend that kind of connects right at the end of Snell.
Right.
So that's a little bit of, and that comes from west side of the township. It comes off, the people that come from 275 can take that stretch to Tuttle Hill, right to Snell, and then right to Townsend, versus Plank Road runs into 223, which is at the very opposite side. So it's almost like a connector, a thoroughfare.
Yeah, and it's and it's done very well, too. You know, cause we're also talking about the grass on the other side of where they normally have, like, the big ticket booth or the inspector or whatever that, because that parcel is also owned by whatever Plank Road LLC, right?
Yes.
All right,
a little parking lot area.
Yeah, so if that grass gets to be high as an elephant's eye, there's still nothing you can do about it, right? I mean, as the county or you as the city can do it? Country?
No, we don't. You know, some municipalities have their own grass cutting crew, so if you don't cut your grass, we don't. If we were to try to pass something like that, these people would be ran out of office.
We're keeping our grass, damn it, no matter how tall it gets.
And I got to be honest, with being the zoning administrator and deputy supervisor, there's a lot of influence in those positions and authorities. I can initiate ordinance amendments. I can be very suggestive with resolutions to the board. I could use that, but you know, I have my personal input as well. And are the two separated? Absolutely. But I think making people cut the grass is kind of a
city
if
thing.
If the board wanted to do it, I don't want to say city. I mean, I live in the city of Romulus, and if my grass gets over 4 inches, they want to issue a citation. To me, I think that's a bit of BS. If I want to let my grass grow to seed, I should have the right to do that, as long as I'm not harboring vermin or any threats or threats to safety and well-being of the public. You know, now if I got knee-high grass and you're watching raccoons coming out to go hunting at night or possums running in and out, although I love both of those animals, and it wouldn't bother me, I could see why my neighbor would be bothered and I could see why they'd want such an ordinance. But to tell somebody with 20 acres of vacant property they need to cut it on a regular schedule, I'm not going to initiate that.
You know, when he was talking too about bathrooms and things, about, all right, tearing up, you know, the septic and all that to bring in new bathrooms. Whew. All right, so let's do this. And again, this is just from our opinions and just the two of us here. You know, it's like if I wanted to tear out all those bathrooms and put in brand new ones, what would I even have to start doing?
Well, one would be a demo permit. But if you're going to demolish it regardless, you'd want a demolition permit to demolish those bathrooms because they are structures, and I believe they are over the 200 square feet. They did need a permit to get constructed at one point, right? Hopefully.
Yeah.
They would a demo permit, but they'd also want to make sure whatever septic tank they have is going to function to hold the amount of people they would expect to use those bathrooms on a daily basis, so definite septic inspection, and to make sure it's not only up to the code, it's up to the standard. It's up to the amount of use that can happen. But I'm almost wondering why they wouldn't just have a couple bathrooms throughout there and then use the porta-potties like everywhere else.
Well, because porta-potties are kind of in drag strips, really not the norm.
Really?
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm just reverting to my 2 times at NHRA where they had all them hundreds of porta-potties.
There is...
They surprisingly stayed rather clean with the amount of alcohol coming in the place.
Which is another question. Hold that thought for a moment. I'm just thinking, and I'm signaling over to Alan, is that maybe Onondaga, because they're just starting everything back up again, but everybody else has, I mean, 131 has huge brick building bathrooms, you know? I mean, so does Mid-Michigan. Northern does. Gosh, everybody does, frankly. You know, it's the reason why I think they put the porta potties, it may be over there at Summit, was, you know, for, shall I say, overflow, no pun intended, you know. But that's really the reason why it's porta potties. See, I believe in the hometown tracks, they have, you know, bathroom buildings. And they're not pit toilets either. They're, you know, it's everybody's got flushers. You just saw just a. Maybe, like we said, you know, something that would be a little bit on the overflow side of town. And that's good. The more the bathrooms, the better off it is. You know what I was surprised to see, Ron, is that there is a liquor license in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, yeah, that's right. You know, but, I mean, does that go in anything that you have to control, or is that just the Michigan Liquor Commission?
I believe that is the county, yeah. I don't have to deal with it. That's why I don't have a direct, very confident answer, but I believe those are state and or county issued and observed for compliance.
All right, but now just...
I've never seen one. Now, we got two stores here that do sell liquor and beer, and I've never seen one, especially not in the zoning area.
Yeah, I was surprised, because I guess that's right. I guess they sold beer, although I guess I never really saw it. However, to get back to the bathroom thing, all right, so if they, because, you know, Mr. Finling said, sure, if you want to come in and start tearing stuff up, I'll be more than happy. I mean, he was making a joke, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, but, all right, so if you wanted to tear it up, here's your demolition, and then where do you go?
Well, you'd have to make sure with the county that you had your septic approved. Sure that septic's probably a little classic. I don't know, from looking at the file, I don't know when they redid it or if it's been redone, but I'm thinking if it's as old as I'm thinking it is, it might be time to look at it. And definitely with the county.
It's got to be 50 years old, I would assume. I mean, if nothing's been updated since the 60s, you know, I mean, a septic field lasts how long?
That'd be something for the
probably
the plumbing inspector and the Monroe County Health Department. But real quick, before I forget, we do have a sheriff's substation apparently in the township of Maybe, or in Maybe, right outside, right at the corner. So yeah, they're pretty close and respond.
Yeah,
they got a good response time in London Township.
So
the sheriff's department.
Don't goof with them, people. Don't.
Besides, honestly, you know what? In London Township, and from being from the city and growing up in a city.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to risk getting caught robbing any property in this township, they might want to have a life insurance policy, because they don't play with that down here. There's a big Second Amendment township from most of the people I know. Even a lot of the people that don't vote that way are, you know, they're supportive of their Second Amendment. And if the right person was driving by at the right time, and it was the wrong time for somebody and they're vandalizing and they saw flashlights, that might not be the best decision for them to make.
Yeah, no. And again, let us not encourage anybody. You couldn't be that stupid, people. You know,
definitely would hope they wouldn't be.
Well, I mean, really, what's the sum end game? I mean, really, what would you get? You know,
yeah, how far do you got to carry it out of the place?
Yeah. There's not a whole lot you can put up your jacket in the middle of July that people would go, that's unusual.
Well, I honestly didn't see anything of value that would be worth taking that risk for personally myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not hard up like that where, every little bit of aluminum may be something. But the only thing of value is the track itself, is the property itself, and they can't walk away with that. So.
I was going to say, try to get some asphalt, you know, to take home with you. That doesn't work. But what does work, if, say, he was talking about folks that had, you know, interest in it and wanted to really build it up and really make it nice. Okay.
And that was the best part of the interview.
Yeah. I bet you the assessor was right next to the radio going, keep talking, you know?
She's ready.
Oh, baby. I mean, really, what does, coming from what this looks like, what Milan looks like now, to if somebody makes it into what everybody's dreaming it to be like, I mean, what changes for London Township?
Image. You know, it's something to be confident in. You may not like the sound of it, but anybody can go, I hate the sound of the train by my house, but man, that was a nice train. That was a nice engine or caboose, whatever the hell they're called.
Yeah.
I'm not a car race fan, but I can respect speed. I can say, damn, that was fast. Wow. And have a bit of awe. I hope the dragway has such a facade on the outside that when you walk into the inside, it's like going into a dream. You know, it's just this beautiful, bright, freshly painted, you know, good smells, happy people serving ice cream and pig ears, and people ready to race. And that's my biggest hope for the dragway, is that it's not somebody with an ego that wants it to have another ego piece or another notch in their belt to say, I'm the dragway owner. I want it to be somebody that it's their passion. And now this is personal. From the zone, from just sitting here at my desk,
yeah, just
still
me
here
and
in
you.
The office.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah, just me being me, a human being. I hope it's somebody with pride and passion that wants to take care of it as if somebody who has pride and passion. And they want a reputation that's great. You know what I mean? They want it to go, wow, that's the best track. Those people, wow. You know, it's such a nice image. It's good. I see pictures of some of these places you go and I go, man, that's nice. That's pretty well taken care of there, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nice, fresh paint and bright and beautiful. And I think for the township itself as a whole, it would be something to be proud of. Even if you don't like hearing the cars or the traffic, you know it's a property owner taking care of it, making sure it's safe for the people coming and going, maybe making the announcement. That's something I'm big on. When your racers are leaving, make the announcement to respect the township. Drive safe. Don't race down dirt roads. That's a big complaint. Treat it like it's home. a home you want to treat right. Because some people have a home that they don't treat right, right? Do something to make sure it's just a beautiful place to go that would make people that don't like racing maybe want to take their kids there for some of the best pig ears as you can get. You know? Something. There's a way. And that was when David Feinling was saying that, driving that point home, it made me happy.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, but I mean, you're going to be busy, my man. I mean, if these guys, you know, if Bob Smith, with all the big money bags that he has, I'm just making up a name, friends. Don't go, who's this Bob Smith guy? He's a Honda owner. No, we're just making up a name. You know, I mean, they have to, it's like Mr. Findling says, and Bob Smith, guess what? We come to an agreement. Everything's great. We can't wait. You know, you sign here, and you now are the new owner of Milan Dragway. Now, Bob in his head's got this idea of how he wants to have all this done. Now, do they come to you with the plan in the head? Do they have to come with like a 3D scale model? Do they go to a full township meeting first? I mean, what's the first step?
Well, they could go to any of the meetings they want to say, hey, I'm so-and-so, I've been with the dragway, but like I said, and I'll be rather blunt, the Planning Commission will be the only body that will have any say-so, and that's the review of the special use, make sure it complies, read what the engineer says, and make sure it's good and safe and it complies with the standards of the ordinance. And to read that site plan and try to find anything that could be wrong or cause a problem later on, but making sure that that's in compliance with the ordinance. And that's all they do. And for us to be a small town and have anybody else with money come in and start talking to these people ahead of time, you know, it's not a new use. You know what I mean? It's not like you got, oh, wait, well, great, we're the solar people, and we want to show you the benefits of solar so you can consider amending your ordinance to allow solar use. These are the benefits. These are the couple cons, however it goes. To have them come in and start trying to touch base with people that don't make I'm the starting point. And come in here to the office. You can do it on any day of the week. I'm usually here with other people, and sit down and just say, hey, what's the first step? And then we'll talk. Email me. What's the first step? You know, what do I have to do? I'm the new owner. What's the first step? And then usually I always ask, hey, you got anything already drawn up so I can kind of see while we're going through this first step? Then when we get to the next step, I already have the other input for you. You know, I'd be fascinated if there's a Ferris wheel in a band stage. I'm just, whatever they want to do. I love that stuff. It's fascinating for me to see how they want to develop this township. But I wouldn't come and start talking to board members and planning commissioners. I'd let that time comes, let it come. Because the planning commission, a lot of the planning commissioners, they're all London Township residents. Some of them longer than others. Most of them very long. That have dealt with the dragway personally. We have a former supervisor on our planning commission as the vice chairman. He's dealt with the dragway. He knows a lot about the dragway. They will love to see them trying to come into compliance and doing this right and doing this beautiful. And, yeah, that's the time to meet with them, not before, because we don't want anybody misinterpreting any type of relationship or any type of visit or any type of communication. Why? Because that could gum everything up later on. We've seen it with other dragways, correct? From our conversations we've had, we've seen too much involvement doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And I big time, personally and professionally, want to see this go right, smoothly. Nobody else coming in and saying, well, so-and-so said, or this guy said, or you're this supervisor. Let's not do that, because the ordinance, I'm the one hired to administer and enforce the ordinance, and let it go through me. And if I'm at fault, anything wrong, I'll definitely take accountability for it and make sure it's right. But it's so clear, cut and dry, and black and white right here in the zoning book. I don't think they're going to have any problem with anybody, myself or the planning commission. But if they want to go in and say, we want to buy off this road and shut this down and do this, you're not going to do that. Don't come in here and think that you're going to run it how you want and we're not going to have anything to say about it, because believe me, we will. And that's because we have the authority in that ordinance. And going to anybody else, they could do what they want. I wouldn't recommend it, but I have a feeling within the first couple days of it actually being bought, I'll get an email or a phone call. Hey, you know, we've heard you on the John Sarver radio show, and what's the first step, you know? Sorry if I got a little long-winded on that, but you know,
no.
How I am.
Oh, baby, that's the reason why you're one of our better guests. All right, so here's the scoop. I mean, would there be some, I mean, are folks in London Township, kind of have one eye open going, look, are you guys think that you're going to come into this hamlet, and I'm using like the little bunny finger ear quote things. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you concerned that folks are going to try to come in and go, yeah, nice little town people, this is what we're going to do. Scoot out of the way, you little guys. We know what to do. We're big people. I mean, are they concerned about something like that happening?
Yeah, they're concerned that it's actually going to be a subdivision, which I don't ever see that happening.
A subdivision.
You got those four houses going in at the corner.
That's
which are
right.
Four,
yes, yes.
Four separate properties. They're four separate properties, two and a half acres or more.
We better talk about that before we go any further. Yes, we've got all kinds of questions about this one. Yes, there is building new houses going up close to the drag strip. Now, when we saw that and we went by there Thursday, yes, indeedy, and we all went, ooh. But when we talked to Ron, it took him about 35 seconds to explain what's going on there.
Well, you do. You had one farmable property. I can't remember the exact acreage. It's shame on me for even quoting 30. That whole corner, Tuttle Hill and Snell, where the one house is, had just been demolished, owned the majority of that property. Well, all that property, actually. The house sat on 5 acres that was separate from the farmland, but the same owner for all that property. Farm was leased. The property owner died. When she passed away, her daughter decided to sell it. So she sold it to somebody that took, I believe, every bit of the acreage. Now, the person that bought it is a London Township resident on a road where she can still hear the drag. Well, not now hear the dragway, but could hear the dragway. Knows the dragway's there. Still bought the house. She's going to move her farm there. Her daughter's going to build next to her. A friend's moving in another parcel. And then somebody who lives on Snell Road, the other corner of Snell and Tuttle Hill, is building a house on the other side. So those four driveways you see are people that live in London Township, know the dragways there, and it's not no special interest. It's four people wanting to make beautiful homes in London Township.
Yeah, so it's not like people are coming up from San Francisco or Miami and going, what's this? I didn't know there was a drag strip here. Let's put a big petition together. No, no, no. It's just like what Ron said. It's folks that already live in town. They get it. They just want to get a new house, build up a brand new house, and the property happened to be just right there.
Well, and if they were coming from them cities to this country township, either they were very misinformed, they're in for a shock, or they just really hate big city life.
Well, they heard they didn't have to cut their grass.
yeah, where they didn't have to cut the grass.
That's huge for city people, especially when it gets hot outside, man. And a lot of it. You know, Ron, is there something that would come in that would automatically get a no if somebody tried to do, they had the plan in their head and they go, you know what, we'd like this, this, and this, and this, and this. What do you think?
Say that again? I actually found the section of that ordinance I was looking for and was reading that over.
Go ahead
and say it again. I'm sorry, John.
I mean, would there be something that somebody would submit to, the township, and the township would just go, no, I don't think so,
Well, if anything submitted to us is in compliance with the state construction codes and our ordinance, they're not going to say, I don't think so. Unless its existence is something that threatens the ideas and advice of our master plan, then I can see that happening. So say the board on the solar ordinance thought it was a good idea to create an overlay district so solar panels couldn't just thrive all throughout London Township's beautiful farm acreage. Now, why? Because we have a lot of farm acreage. Ag 1 and Ag 2 are farming districts specifically made for farming, to protect farming. And if that's where the solar panels go eventually, in a worst-case scenario, and you have London solar panels thriving, that, in my opinion, and apparently the opinion of the board, would be against the advice of our master plan. Now, we don't want to change a master plan for a special use or any use. The master plan is that way because that's what these residents voted for. They love the country. They love the rural appeal. And they don't want to look at that all over the place. Now, the master plan does allow in some spots and smaller bits for certain things. So say a trailer park. It's in our zoning ordinance for a manufactured housing park. Do we have any districts for that? No. Could we? Possibly. Without city water? Probably not. If we got city water and sewer, could they? Eventually, they could probably put one, maybe another one in a smaller, another section. But then eventually people go, wait, the master plan said small amounts of A, B, C, or D, protect the rural, there's nothing rural about mobile home parks. then they start getting to where they go, okay, we're going against what we actually wanted here. We need to back off, you know. And as long as it's following that ordinance and it's a use that can be approved, if it's a special use, not a permitted use, and they come in there and they go, I want this, I want to have this, I want to have that, this is here in this section, that section, that section, can you find a reason why I can't? It's not in violation of your master plan. It gets approved. Especially if it's not a threat to, I want to add, if it's not a threat to safety, the peace and the well-being of the community especially.
Yeah, because there was a question about the M1 thing. The M1 deal has, like, garages all around the interior of the M1 race course. But what you can do is you can rent these things out, and they ain't cheap. But what they do is you can, and I'm just going to say, you would store your Porsche in there. But they would have a loft where you could put, like, a couch and a big screen TV, and you can entertain there. I don't think you could sleep there, but, you know, but there's a lot of them. I mean, there is, you know, 30, 40, 50 of these little guys, because the deal is that you're supposed to keep your hot rod there, and you can open up the door, and people walking by going, oh, wow, there's your Porsche, and then you can hop on into it, and you can take a couple of hot laps around the course. Now, would they be able to build something like that at Milan?
Well, I've never had that question, because I didn't exactly know what the M1 was. With talking about extra, it seems like that might be some general storage or outdoor storage, which I don't believe is in the public, semi-public. But if that's relative to the use of the track, I believe there's a path, but I don't want to say so without doing some research and giving you a proper, more safe answer.
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these questions, and for everybody listening too, these are pretty broad questions that would be kind of, it's like, what's your favorite color? You know, that's easy to answer, but if you had to answer how many shades of blue are there in the world, if you're not an artist, that's a little difficult to answer. And so we just want to bounce these off, because a lot of people do like a general question, and they know that you wouldn't have, you know, obviously an answer right there. But it was just like, if there's something that tripped a red flag right away, that's fine. Because,
oh yeah, I don't know anything, and I don't want to give the wrong answer and have somebody hear that and go, oh, cool, look, I'm more interested now. And then the Planning Commission go, wait, Ron, you really effed up here.
You know, how
I tell you what I am going to do. I am going to look at other areas that do have these and look at their ordinance and how it's lined up and where it's zoned and start to see how they've kind of set a precedent. You know, is it general storage, or is this profitable? Is it for profit? They rent out this garage. What kind of business is it? Traffic? You know, is it? Yeah, there's a lot. Once you start asking somebody like me who actually has a passion for it and wants the right answer, I'm going to start digging and looking to see how everybody else does it. So if we're going to end up being the ones to do it too, that we're not doing things wrong. We're doing it right.
See, that's why, you know, we ask you. Because somewhere and somehow, nowhere in Ron Youngblood's blood, is there any kind of bovine scatology gene that runs around. So if we get it, and that's one of the beauty things with us, you know, if we need to get an answer, we go to the source, hence you. And we know that you would dig into it, and we hope to God that we don't rob you from sleeping tonight, going, where the hell is it?
You've done it before. You probably will with this one.
Beautiful. Well,
because, you know, like you say, you ask me, you go to the source, and that's exactly where if I screw up or a wrong decision was made, or I gave the wrong information to another public body or just a buyer, and then they were sitting here in front of me, and I don't like doing that. It's easy for me to be accountable, but it's hard for me to let it go and not feel guilty for wasting somebody's time. And I also am the one that will feed every bit of the complaint, and they'll always say, ask Ron, he screwed up. That's how they'll do it. And that's, I guess, how they should be. They shouldn't be making excuses for me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, short of having an issue neurologically, I wouldn't really have an excuse for giving the wrong answer if I have plenty of time to find it, right?
Yeah, take a look at M1. It's in Pontiac.
I am. I'm on the M1 concourse in Pontiac right now looking at that. Is that the only one in Michigan?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, I mean, it is the M1, you know? It's kind of like saying the Milan Dragway. There's only one. And look at how nice and beautiful I'm sure that you're seeing their place.
Well, I don't know what kind of car this is, but I sure can't afford it.
Yeah. Well, now you get the idea of M1.
Gotcha.
You're not going to see probably a 69 Roadrunner there, you know, with rust on the quarter panels. You're going to see some very nice cars, and that's what the M1 gig is to the M1 people. Now, I personally don't see where M1 people and drag racing people, what we have in common besides we like to go fast and stuff. You know, maybe there is, maybe, but I mean, the one thing that we get dragged into is the Dream Cruise, that they're having some kind of event for like $100 or $200, some kind of thing, at M1, so you can meet the people and have food all day. And, you know, the racers are like, well, that's what the Woodward Dream Cruise is supposed to be about, you know? All right. I mean, it's an interesting thing. It's, you know, definitely, we're all racers. I mean, we walk a fine line on this one. I mean, we all race, and there's just some folks who, you know, have the leather gloves when they race, and there's folks who have, you know, the flame suits. That's what it
now
is.
Only the owners drive these cars, right? They're not like rented to where you can come in and have your party and drive our cars?
Normally not.
Okay.
Normally these are the people. Yeah, it's not like you can, you know, have your 24th birthday here for a family of 10. Come on in.
Well, this one garage picture sure looked like that was the case.
Yeah. Well,
I thought there was champagne and flowers on it.
Yeah. Okay. So now you understand what M1 is.
Yeah.
Or what our impression of M1 is. You know, so, and again, that's where it appeals to, you know.
Yeah.
And so now if you see that garage with like a car there and you see the kind of the upstairs loft and all that stuff, what if they try to build that at Milan?
What if they try to? As long as it can be an approved use.
Then that's cool, right?
Yeah, I don't see that. You know, they're not throwing cannabis parties out of it. They're not doing anything that's not been approved, you know. If that's what they want, you know what? Honestly, John, I know, not to sound like people that
cannabis
with money
parties
are the only ones that take care of property.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling if you're parking $2 million of cars in that garage and your friends that are part of these yacht clubs and own yachts are coming to look at these and hang out with you, I have a feeling you're taking pretty good care of the place.
Oh, yeah.
And that really matters to us, you know what I mean, and to what people see driving through our township. And I from just a zoning perspective, and it's a racetrack and they're storing cars and knowing the special use process and knowing that it's not, I can't see it being that difficult, but at the same time, I don't want to give any type of definite.
Yeah,
I'd like to look into it just a little more.
Okay. Now, we should probably have somebody for M1 on. You know, I mean, they're kind of not our gig. It'd be like kind of having somebody from NASCAR on. But it's interesting. They always try to have something on over there. I mean, they don't have a drag strip per se over there. But again, that's not their gig. That's okay. You know?
Yeah.
But when Finling said that, you know, well, you know, you know, they got plenty of room and they could make, you know, the road course that hasn't been kept up. And we're wondering if that's what he was talking about, the shutdown areas and the turnarounds. As I've never seen, you know, a true road course there. Doesn't mean there isn't one. Just means I haven't seen it, you know. And if somebody else has, and if somebody's got an aerial view of Milan, I'd love to see. Because that's got to be the world's best-kept secret. However, you know, what's not the world's best-kept secret is we got to go. Holy crap, how did we get 46 minutes already?
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm off the clock, so anybody listening from the township,
yes,
I've just been here for leisure.
There you go.
You can check my timesheet. It stopped at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, and then it's going to go back on because you're a hard worker. See? I mean, you work off the clock so diligently, and that's why we like having you on, Ron Youngblood. Thanks an awful lot for being with us.
Anytime. I enjoy it, and I'm really excited to see what comes of the place, that's for sure.
Well, so is everybody else, and that's why it was that big looming, yeah, you're not going to get it this year, folks, but wait till you see next year, you know, and that's kind of what everyone's looking forward to. This, all right, Ron, what didn't we cover in 1 minute? What didn't we
I don't know what we didn't cover, but I'm looking at a satellite image of, and there is a nice track right around and outside the dragway.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe
I don't know what it's for. I mean, it could have been just about anything, but it's got a couple turns and loops and little, you know, it's a little squiggly here, and it goes right around the whole dragway.
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it, if that's where it's in the pits, I don't know. I think it's exciting. I can't believe anybody never used it. I can't believe somebody put in a road track and it just sat dormant. That's amazing, man. That's
amazing. Yeah, I'd have to look through their file again. I thought I saw something about some other track, but it never came to fruition or didn't get approved. I don't want to...
That's okay.
Shoot out there a little too soon on that, but...
Don't worry about
it. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it goes right around and it looks exactly like what you talked about.
Wow. That's exciting. All right. And it's also exciting that we got to go. So, Ronnie.
Yep.
Be with us soon, eh? I mean, stay within phone contact, because at any minute we could be calling you.
No, please do. And give me a list of some M1s. If that M1 in Pontiac's the only one, I'd like to talk with their planner and see what all goes into that and how they looked at it.
You're an amazing guy. Thank you, Ron.
Nah, I'm all right on most days.
Thank you, sir. We'll see you, Ron.
Absolutely. Anytime, John. You guys take care. Take care, race fans.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.